Belfast, Northern Ireland. You're listening to the Four Sweet Horsemen Podcast with Richard Troop, Andrew Moore, Chris Curlett, and Stephen Curry.
Hello and welcome to the Four Sweet Horsemen Podcast. My name is Richard.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Curry.
And I am Chris. And this week we are covering the Last Man or Machine Standing match with Brian Cage versus Pentagon Dark in Lucha Underground. Now, surprise, surprise, this is another organization that I don't watch a lot, so I am going to ask you three to explain to me what Lucha Underground is.
For fuck's sake.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to check.
I'm going to try and attempt this.
Andy forwarded me onto it.
Because I kind of got the group in.
He did. Andy introduces and kind of picked away at us going, you need to start watching this more.
So unlike other wrestling promotions we all watch, Lucha Underground is a seasonal show, like a normal TV show. There's about 23 episodes a season. We are coming into it on the fourth season. Basically, this is kind of taking all the logic and all the sportsmanship of, say, New Japan and the kind of the reality TV segment of WWE and just throwing all that out the window. Lucha Underground, we have Satan worshipping, we have time travel, we have cyborgs.
People coming back from the dead.
Absolutely, resurrection.
We have fucking like Thanos, like gauntlets and shit and magic. And it's fucking cool.
It's just mental.
It's great.
I think it should be a point that's noted that it's on the El Rey network in US.
I'm produced by Robert Rodriguez.
Yep,
behind Desperado from Dust Till Dawn, and the best of the fucking best things he's ever worked on.
What's that?
Fucking Spy Kids.
For fuck's sake.
Are you fucking kidding me? You should know this. You've got children.
I do know Spy Kids.
Well, there you go.
I know Spy Kids so well that I didn't let my kids watch Spy Kids.
You fucking arsehole.
Actually, the same. Whenever Andy had introduced me originally to the idea behind Lucha Underground and telling me to watch it, one of the things that hooked me, it was by Robert Rodriguez, where he was the producer behind it. And I went, ooh.
Wrestling and Robert Rodriguez.
And I was like, oh, the guy behind, you know, from Dust Till Dawn. He went, it's exactly like From Dust Till Dawn, but with a wrestling ring. And I went, I'm fucking watching this. And it is.
The vignettes are all shot so well.
The cutscenes are
amazing.
What makes it very distinctive, and it's something actually I really love about Lucha Underground, is because it has that distinct identity that no other show has. Well, no, Impact does to a certain degree, but doesn't quite. I think because they're still trying to keep it embedded in realism to a degree, they looks a bit out of place when they do the cutscenes and the vignettes and stuff. Whereas the Jungle Underground is unapologetically just batshit mental.
And where it's all based around the temple and the Aztec temple being the ring and
like a mouth of hell type
thing going on, and some of the belts, like the gift of the gods belt, like it's a cool concept. It's like a single belt and you collect fucking medallions to place them on the belt, and you know, one person, was it seven or I think seven competitors,
seven.
So you all get a medallion and you all
catch
fight
them all.
And it's like fucking Pokemon wrestling. Some of the wrestlers like Girl Star might as well
be the Gathering, for fuck's sake.
Or what do you call him, Mandrago, whatever you call him, he could be a fucking Pokemon, the big dragon dude, like, so.
Yeah,
but I love that the gift of the gods is so unique, the temple's so unique, the whole of there being tribes, they're not cliques, they're not factions, they're fucking tribes.
It's actually it's a great concept because it also introduces Western audiences to some of the biggest Latin American wrestlers in the world. You know, like nearly all these guys are big stars in AAA.
But because AAA owns a percentage in the company.
Yes. Oh, right, okay.
AAA does. It's, as Andy says, it's like the biggest Mexican.
Easily.
So that's where they're getting a lot of their talent from. But they also have indie talent on there.
Yeah.
And the thing I love about it is the exposure that you don't realize half the time, because we were watching Lucha for a good while there, and out of the blue I just happened to go, does he even know who the Monster Matanza is? And you were like, I haven't a fucking clue, the guy behind the mask is fucking Jeff Cobb. And I love that sort of shit.
Right,
you've been watching
you
him fight, and we've seen him live, and then you figure out you've been watching him week in, week out as this other character.
I also like to think that Jeff Cobb is a fan of the podcast, because anytime we mention him on Twitter, he always hears everything.
But it's because he's a sound lad.
Do you know what? I think he just searches his own name on Twitter. And
Don't kill a dream.
Don't you?
Don't kill me, Jeff.
we've got a creep peering through the door here. And Troop's cat has just appeared. She was like, Jeff Cobb?
She likes Jeff Cobb.
Lily, what are you doing in here?
You're not giving bitch. Sorry, I have to keep the cat out. Sorry.
Pro as fuck.
I know, pro as fuck. Yeah,
like I said, that's what I love. There's wrestlers that you are aware of, but they're actually fighting in Lucha Underground, and you have to even fucking realise it. Like,
but then also, like, in one of the episodes, someone, loads of big indie stars do turn up, like Joey Ryan. As a regular
on
the
Underground.
He's got great. His character's fantastic in that as well.
Tommy Dreamer even turned up.
Tommy Dreamer turns up everywhere, though.
That's a fair point.
Tommy Dreamer's like a bad rash.
Tommy Dreamer alone. He's fucking.
He's solid. A legend, though.
I know, but like,
but
he's
everywhere. Just stopped wrestling, you know.
But it also exposed mainstream audiences to
Ricochet
for the first time.
Yes,
the first two seasons of Lucha Underground, he essentially was the star of the show.
Prince Puma, and then you've got fucking Johnny Impact, aka Johnny Mundo, as he's called in Lucha Underground, if I remember correctly. And then sure, he was John Morrison. Remember WWE Donkeys ago?
Okay, Johnny Electric
Nitro.
Boogaloo.
Is that Johnny Electric Boogaloo? What the fuck?
Whatever he goes by these days.
But he's good now. He's the Worldwide Underground at the minute. I actually really like the character, the shtick that he's got working with Aerostar and Drago with the whole gauntlet fucking thing. I think that's cool.
Like, at time recording, I think he is the current Impact World Champion at the minute as well.
He took it off,
right?
Call your man
Austin Aries,
and fucking threw that fucking the shoot flip out where he walked out of the ring. Remember, didn't
yeah.
sell and all?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he took a strop, didn't
he? Did a bit of a dick move there on that one. Like,
I have to say that my impressions based on Neutral Underground, you know, watching it immediately about the actual wrestling side of it. You mentioned about, you know, the temple, it takes part of the Aztec temple, and it kind of has that weird vibe where it looks like it's part of that Aztec zone in Crystal Maze.
Crystal fucking Richard O'Brien.
Right, yeah, like Richard O'Brien to come down the steps.
Golden tickets flying everywhere.
But I actually really like the setup of it, because the crowd, it's more of an intimate affair because it's a smaller show.
It looks like a fucking factory though.
It does, but the crowd sit quite high up.
In the bleachers.
In the bleachers.
Yeah, I like that.
But the entrance is weird as well.
The steps.
And they're so fucking steep.
I wouldn't see Titus O'Neil.
No, I was going to say, Titus O'Neil.
No teeth job.
He would be straight down those fucking steps.
There was one episode I remember watching, and it was somebody was carrying their wife or something down the fucking steps or some shit. I don't know if it was Johnny Mundo or what. And I was like, how is he going down the fucking steps?
They're
carrying
really steep,
somebody?
Like really, really steep.
How did they fucking die? That's why, like, could you imagine, honestly, say Titus O'Neil run into the ring or something? Like, you would fucking die if going down those steps. Like,
yeah.
Easily.
But it's also, you know, in certain matches, as they use the steps as weapons, like, and so you place onto those steps, like, fucking horrible.
But it's so cool because it's like you said, the steps
like
are weapons.
They're pure concrete.
They are.
Yeah.
But they use the rafters a lot more. They use the bleachers, whatever you want to call them. But like, because of the surroundings, there's a lot of like built up sort of platforms.
Yeah,
and
they use everything.
You see a lot of like high flying spots.
They utilize it so well.
I remember seeing a couple of spots where before I've watched it where they use like a platform well up in the fucking audience.
Yeah,
and they launch off that into the ring.
They do.
A move.
Yeah,
and it's like
amazing.
Holy good fuck!
And
you
if you don't have that, so it's one of the episodes the other week where fucking Aerostar turns up with a hard hat and fucking driving a forklift,
and there
is a pallet up, and Aerostar jumps off the fucking pallet. It's amazing.
Yeah,
like, you don't get that anywhere.
I think what also helps the genre is because it's all filmed in the one location. You know, the wrestlers have got time to think about the mad shit spots that they can do.
They are used to the space,
yes.
And they can use it quite well, and they do use it very fucking well.
They
I'd say. Generally, overall, I mean, what about the match we're talking about in particular?
Yeah, well, we've got two absolute fucking dreamboats of wrestlers in this one. Chris, if you want to fucking take it away.
And let them finger me gently.
Jesus. Not one.
I don't think they would finger
you
gently.
There's nothing gentle about these lads.
Can't they go and break your arms and leave you for dead?
Yeah, and Brian Cage's fingers would split my hoop.
Honestly, so. big lad. Like,
they are big.
Okay.
Both of them are quite big, and like I mentioned at the start of the show, we're doing it's the last man or machine standing match between Brian Cage and Pentagon Dark. Now, I know some of you followed the whole build-up to this match, so do you just want to give us a wee bit of background on it?
It's sort of, at this stage, we're about 11 episodes into season 4 of Lucha Underground. At this stage, the owner, the sort of shady character...
Antonio,
the mysterious dad who mysteriously looks like
his son who is dead, but
he's set up a grey wig on. Isn't that convenient?
And the contact lens, that changes the whole dynamic, man. He's more blind in one eye.
It's just a bit of a coincidence. It's just like, looks really like him.
It sounds like this.
I didn't know any better. I think he was an actor pretending to be his, but I'm not going to spoil that kayfabe. You're not going to break that shit.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say?
Saying nothing, moving on. Saying nothing, moving on. Wrestling's real, goddammit.
Interesting is that they actually do use actors.
They do.
Which is brilliant. It actually really, really works quite well.
Well, just listening to the explanation, it sounds like, you know, in those American movies, you see the people watching the Spanish sitcoms. And
that's
like,
pretty much it.
No,
yeah.
I know, it is a Spanish soap opera, absolutely.
Yeah.
So at this stage, Pentagon has been the champion since the end of season 3.
Okay.
And he's actually been a fighting, defending champion. The opener of season 4 is absolutely brilliant. I think all of us have maybe watched it.
Is that the gauntlet one?
It's the Aztec Warfare.
It's
almost like the Royal Rumble, except you have to pin everybody.
That was a great match.
It's actually, if you've never seen Lucha Underground, I recommend watching that one because it's a good jump on point because you get the injuries to every member of the roster in one go.
And the show's only an hour long.
Not even 45 minutes.
And that's a very, very easy show to digest every week because it's short form. And the matches are fucking spectacular.
Well, when it's on, actually, it's just that NXT is all I rewatch during the week.
Yeah, yeah.
Same.
So we get this point, and then Brian Cage, I always kind of forget his role in this, but he's sort of a unstoppable...
machine! He's a fucking machine!
But are they not?
I was going to say unstoppable person, but machine, yeah.
Are they not bringing a wee bit of a feud and a storyline from Impact as well, though?
I know they don't reference Impact. But nearly every member of Lucha Underground is in Impact,
yeah,
but they're all under different names.
Yeah.
Like Sammy Callahan's fucking Jeremiah Snake and stuff.
They're just trademarks and all that sort of thing. But yeah, so it's sort of built up and up and up, and Cage, I think, has interfered in a few Pentagon's matches up to this point, and it's sort of the intensity goes up and up and up, and it climaxes in an amazing Last Man Standing match, which we're about to talk about. Curry.
I was just going to chime in and say, you know, Pentagon Dark Jr. I was going to say, you know what age that motherfucker is?
No.
33.
20 days younger than me. And he's fucking class. What have I done with my life? Nothing.
You're part of a not successful podcast.
Well, okay.
You watch the wrong matches in New Japan.
Look, I wear masks all the time and nobody fucking comes to see me.
Well, we're not talking about you wearing masks.
We promised we wouldn't talk about that.
Yeah, we did.
Curry.
What?
Chris, whoever's got the notes, for people who don't know who Brian Cage is,
I just have wee funny things about Brian Cage.
Okay, well, you tell some funny things.
I say funny things about him. Like, I looked up who he's trained by. He's trained by, remember Norman Smiley from WCW fame, used to kick about in fucking ice hockey tops.
Oh, really?
He used to be in all the WCW hardcore matches and shit, fighting like Brad Knox. That was one of the guys that trained him, and Chris Canyon, if you remember him.
Oh, yeah.
But then in research and all that shit, one of the best characters, I totally forgot who Chris Canyon ended up playing. Mortis from WCW, who was like, remember Reptile out of Mortal fucking
Kombat?
Remember,
I thought you actually meant Mortis.
As in the musician.
The musician. I'm a parasite guy.
Parasite. Gobshite, more like. No, he played he played the character for a while of Mortis with a big fucking like green suit again, like the Glazer. Remember, like, fucking Glazer. I'm working this motherfucker.
Every fucking episode.
If I can work the Glazer or Glacier in the episode.
Have we got the Glazer t-shirt yet?
We should start printing them fucking things.
Should we just made out of glass, though?
Just see through, is this clinkable? I thought that was a good tip of information. He was trained by Norman Smiley and Chris Canyon, and Brian Cage fought in FCW, so he was technically with WWE-ish type, you know, in development.
Right, he was in developmental
for a while,
right.
And he fought under the name Chris Logan, I believe. Chris as in Chris Canyon, who trained him as a homage to him, but he also chose Logan for Logan as in Wolverine, because that's what his shtick used to be and still kind of is, with the sideburns and stuff, because they reference
adamantium in
there, you
the
go
commentary.
Yeah, so he's always had that Wolverine shtick about him, and with that comic book character, the WWE, when it was FCW whatever in developmental, they actually had given him the name of Nightclaw.
Right,
and that was a new gimmick he was rocking. There's a couple of bits on YouTube, you can check him out, like, but he's wearing this fucking stupid like purple trousers and sleeves with spikes and
shit. He was
a
lot smaller then as well.
Man, he's fucking huge now. But back then, definitely smaller.
I was going to say, when I first saw him come down those fucking steps, I thought, holy fuck, how big is Brian Cage?
He's eating the other wrestler out the back.
Like, I'm actually surprised that Vince hasn't personally approached him. And because he loves sweaty
I'm
men.
I'm actually really surprised by that.
Because he would be the archetype that you would want in WWE, like the big muscled fucking,
like,
you know, grizzled veteran
NXT, you know, I'd love to see EC3 and fucking Brian Cage.
That would be amazing.
Imagine them two big units.
They both so somewhere Vince McMahon's just got an erection.
They'd be a great tag team.
Wouldn't it? Yeah. Be two washing machines just kicking the fuck out of people.
And they do. They both take bumps. They're not scared to take
bumps. They're
a
big boys. Yeah, like, big so boys. As I say, his character of Nightclaw, when it was being developed in FCW, which I think is hilarious, Nightclaw. You can just totally see Vince going, I love him with superheroes.
That's the fucking shittest name though, in France.
But because, you know why, it was a build up to, do you remember the Hurricane?
Shane Helms.
Yep. It was actually his character apparently was being developed to move on to fight
I
him.
I thought you said the Hurricane there. I thought like the Hurricanes cartoon.
Oh, the football team.
The football team.
Fuck me.
Thought they were in a market, like one of them is one of the Hurricane
God,
footballers.
I, Frank Kidd's
the Hurricanes champions.
Fucking dickhead.
Fuck me.
No, but he was meant to be, this character was being created so that he would go on to face the Hurricane, but it never panned out.
Right, okay.
So then he's just fucked off and went to TNA and all that nonsense.
Well, he's done well for himself. He's carved out a fucking good career for himself.
Well,
he's
carved out a fucking stone the size of the bastard.
He is very intimidating looking, isn't he?
Man, I'd buy him a pint and tell you that much, but like, drink this and don't kill me.
Well, see for him, hell. See for him looking so scary. Do you want it? He has the cutest real name.
Oh, go on.
Oh, what is it?
I was just Googling it because I wanted to look up a name of one of his finishers, and I came up that his real name is Brian Christopher Button.
No!
Brian Christopher Button.
Aww.
I know, he sounds like a Winnie the Pooh character.
So if he threatened you, you just go, fuck up, Button.
Oh, God.
Please don't kill me.
But this is Lucha. Lucha Underground is terrible for this. You remember we looked up Mil Muertes? I was like, guess what Mil Muertes real fucking name were? His fucking name's Gilbert, and you were calling him Gilbertes. Gilbertes. It's like, what the fuck?
All right, Gilbert.
No, fucking Mil Muertes is one of the scariest motherfuckers with Brian Cage, and I'm not going to be able to look at one and go, well, there's Gilbertes versus fucking, what, Benjamin Button or something?
Brian Christopher Button.
He gets fucking.
I just want them to like have a powerbomb called the Button Bomb.
We're not actually making fun of you, Mr. Cage, because you're
just
a big
your name.
Man.
Oh, fuck him. What's he gonna do?
I'd probably kill you.
No, I don't give a fuck. I'll just say my name's Stephen Curry.
Get me murdered. The machine just fucking fold me up like a Dexter.
He's not gonna listen to this podcast.
No, but yeah, well, he's fucking watched a few Insta stories and shit, so he's probably looking, going up those fucking wankers again to skim him past.
I really don't know, he fancies you.
Just read the wee hashtag Brian Christopher Button.
I mean, this very loud knock at the door.
You know, we'll slag him until death comes, but because we just called him by his actual name, he's just like,
Yeah. I'm booking a ticket to Ireland. I may wrestle or just murder people.
It's alright, I'm still registered to my folks' address, so they'll never find me.
Kill your
parents.
Yeah. You'll be like a Terminator, you'll turn up and you'll be like, Chris Burley.
You're looking for Sarah Connor. Have you seen a picture of Chris? Have you seen this boy?
I have to say though that when I saw him come down the fucking steps, like, because I'd already seen quite a bit of Pentagon Dark in Lucha Underground because he's the main star
but
and the champion at the time.
The fucking Swolverine, like, the Swolverine, like, he's a big
and he is class looking. I'll be honest, he's fucking awesome looking, and he just looks so frightening, you know, like, I would want to face him in a ring.
Fuck, massive, like.
But then whenever you see like Pentagon Dark, trying to explain this to people who've never seen Pentagon Dark,
I am absolutely in love with Pentagon Dark. I've got a wee bit of a hard on for it.
Yeah.
Just
think, if Stone Cold Steve Austin was a luchador.
Oh yeah,
that's who. That is exactly who Pentagon Dark is.
Well, you think it's sad having a hard on for him. I made my custom character for WWE 2K19 Career Mode as Pentagon Dark just because he's fucking class.
He is awesome. So,
I'm pretty sure I downloaded him on Fire Pro Wrestling.
Basically, he's like a satanic looking Ray Mysterio. Just, he looks fucking scary himself.
See, you give reference to him saying that he reminds you of like Stone Cold as a luchador, but I get this real vibe of Undertaker of him. If Undertaker was, he has like,
if Undertaker could move.
Like a Mexican Undertaker, because it's all about death.
I think of him as more of a badass. That's where the Stone Cold comparison's coming for me.
But I just love, it looks like he's like a Mexican fucking Punisher. Like his outfit looks like body armor. That's
shitty body armor that guy
D'Lo Brown wears.
Or like fucking Roman Reigns.
Oh,
you know?
Christ.
I love the wee like the buffer between the match where it brings up the logo.
Oh, the
Lucha
noise.
It's very
very ominous.
Yeah, yeah, like world.
It's like that sound, was it in Lost? They used to have that big fucking noise all the time.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
So it's like a sound of me when I'm on the toilet.
But it is like, and the match, because the way Lucha's cut, it just, there is very little build up. It cuts, that's
straight
obviously in their ad break.
Yeah.
Boom, straight into action.
I don't think you can call this a match, because as soon as it starts,
is this a legitimate
yeah,
fight?
Yeah, they actually go ahead.
No, you go. It's fucking mental.
This is exploding.
I was watching it fucking last night, and I was like, what the fuck is happening? Because 2 minutes and the fucking mask's ripped.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Who the fuck rips a luchador's mask?
I know.
That's Brian Christopher Button. That's who.
I was going to say, straight away, like the match hasn't even started. Like, literally, Pentagon's just in. He's not even in the ring.
They're in the ring for what, about a second?
Well, Brian Cage literally runs around and attacks him outside of the ring.
And pulls a mask. Like,
yeah.
Brian Cage. His whole mask
he's
off.
Straight away outside the ring, and then a scoop slam onto the mat outside the ring, and then tries to fucking rip the cunt and mask of Pentagon.
It's class.
And that's like, that
he
is the ultimate.
He does.
Well, yeah, he does partially rip it.
Yeah.
The whole mask has come off. But that is the ultimate disrespect.
Oh, yeah,
for
yeah.
a lucha. Like, that's, they will, like, they can't live that down. But it's incredible build up from the start.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, this is, it's such an explosive start. He says it's not a wrestling bout, it's a fucking fight. They just in the ring for all of 2 seconds, run out, tries to rip the mask, then Pentagon just pure homage to the Terminator, like glass bottle smashing cages, like
he just turns
doesn't
around,
feel it, like,
takes it,
and
glass
then
bottle
just,
over the head,
and just levels him,
yeah.
Really fish his clothesline.
It's fucking
but
great.
Cage gets a bottle and he breaks it, and
I thought he was going to smash it as if to say, I don't need this, I'm so tough.
The first thing I thought was that he was going to eat a bit. What the fuck? But no,
he gouges it in the Pentagon just fucking forehead, like it's just easy fucking W, man.
Well, and that's the thing I love about Lucha Underground is that it gives people like
Jesus.
Us who grew up with that era.
It's actually
a very adult product that you don't really get with, well, you definitely don't get a WWE. You don't even get with New Japan to a lesser degree.
Yeah, yeah. It's on the screen there, and he really is just gouging that.
But
Lucha
never holds back, as Andy says, because I think it's Vampiro's reference and Vampiro's on commentary along with Matt Stryker, as you know.
And always looks like he's on coke.
Some days I think he's just on a come down because he's slow. Some days, and then there's other days he's fucking through the
roof. He's just jittering.
But in this as well, he mentions about how there's a good match as well where it's Vampiro fights Pentagon, and Pentagon fucking puts Vampiro on fire and shit. Like, so
Lucha
Underground doesn't hold back at all.
No, well, they don't.
Talking about that, I actually wrote down Matt Stryker's quote because of the bottle incident, and he says, "We apologize for the graphic images, but this is Lucha Underground, so you kind of got to know what you're getting into when you tune in." And then Vampiro goes, "You weren't saying that when I was set on fire." And I was like, what the fuck have I missed?
He's
on fire.
The funny thing is that, like, we are literally in like the first 3 minutes or so, and there's immediate blood.
I love it.
It just sets a stall out.
There's immediate blood. A mask has been ripped off.
Yeah,
and then
there's been a bottle ground in someone's head.
Bottles,
fire mentioned.
There's a table fucking is being brought out already. So it's like,
basically this match is fucking relentless in terms of pace. I mean, it's so much happens. There's so many huge spots.
It's got one of my favorite table spots ever.
Yo, definitely. I mean, we've talked about the bottles already, the blood, the fucking ripping the lucha mask. Cage is relentless with the attacks. He pummels Pentagon with punches on top of his head in the ring, and then sets up a table against the turnbuckle. And
the corner spot's great.
And then Pentagon reverses Cage's offensive and does a Death Valley driver, putting Cage
through
the table.
The fucking table.
And dude, Cage is fucking huge.
How
too.
Heavy is Cage, and how Pentagon's like, fuck it, just scoops his
just
ass up.
Just fucking goes for it. Like,
the thing I love about it is that the table just breaks into tiny
pieces.
Yeah.
Shattered.
That's not a New Japan
table. Not a New Japan
table. Fucking hell.
Fucking Cage would have bounced off a New Japan table.
Fuck.
That's like the B&M version of WWE's tables.
I just can't get over how quick Brian Cage is for being so big.
Like, for a big guy, he's a quick fucker. He really is.
But I didn't like
that. He takes some really bad. A chair shot, like
he needs
Pentagon.
To protect that head.
I was going to say, whenever he hits him across the head with that fucking metal chair when he gets up. Afterwards, like, Pentagon smashes Cage across the head with it, and he fucking dents the chair really hard. Like,
but isn't it interesting though that 20 years ago we would never even blinked at that?
No,
but now in this era, obviously we never see it in WWE anymore.
No.
But you don't even see it in New Japan to a degree. But the fact that we're seeing it, the impact is so much more so much worse.
Yeah,
seeing
a
straight head shot.
Good point about New Japan. I don't think they really use chairs.
But they're wee flimsy like launchers.
Yeah, they don't really use them as weapons. They don't really use
chairs. They're really hardcore at all.
Jericho's used them. That's the only person I've seen use them, because he just lifts them up and hits people on the back of the head.
Does he tells people to get up off the chairs and then takes the chairs
off? It's those four kills you gotta watch out for.
That's it, yeah.
Ask him! Like, we've all seen Suzuki when he goes out into the crowd. He lifts fucking chairs and throws them around the place and stuff.
Yeah.
But I know I've definitely seen Suzuki lift a chair and batter a couple of boys before.
But that's Suzuki. He does what he wants.
I think this is true.
He battered fucking Asuka, you know.
Oh,
but she
fuck. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely killed up her.
But now, to be fair,
she asked for it.
She did ask for it. Apparently, that was the whole thing. Yeah. It was all her doing.
It was all her doing.
But anyway,
question is, would you batter Asuka? Asuka?
What?
I just did what Kurt Angle did.
Oh,
sick.
You Michael Coleman up.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What is wrong with you?
It's Chris O'Clock, motherfuckers. Dave Herbner. That chair spot, it's just simple, but he fucking really takes the brunt of it on his head, and the chair's fucked afterwards.
I think it shocks us though, is because we know of the damage that it does.
Yeah.
Brian Cage, the shtick is he's a fucking machine, like,
yeah,
and even that puts him down, like, you know, he falls like a sack of shit because he hits him so fucking hard. Actually, like,
I
think the gun's insane.
The shot, I must say, I love how Lucha Underground's filmed.
Yeah.
So there's this brilliant shot of just the blood pissing out of Pentagon, and that crazed the rage look.
It's actually a point I want to bring up about that, is that when they film that shot, which shows the blood streaming down his face and into his mouth, really, really strange commentary from the
commentary team. What happens when you unplug a computer? Vampiro?
Well, it basically says that a strange commentary about Pentagon getting fired up when he gets the taste of blood in his mouth, and it said that he experienced that when he was down under, and I'm not talking about Australia. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
I know, it's weird. Isn't it Vampiro who says that?
I think
that
it's Vampiro, though? And Striker goes, he's like, yes, I understand.
But then Vampiro,
he's almost like, shut up.
I know, it's like, that's too low, Brian. And then he comes out with this, because obviously, as they say, Brian Cage is the machine. He says, Vampiro says, you know what happens when you unplug a computer and plug it back in? And Striker's like trying to call the match, going, yeah, it reboots. And he was all, exactly. Brian Cage is rebooting. It's like,
oh,
mate, that is fucking terrible.
But calm down, man.
But we do have some funny observations in the past about the commentary team, because it's usually Vampiro. He looks like he's on uppers and downers. It depends on the show, because there's times where he, like, when they open the show and he looks like he's out of it. He looks like he's totally listless. Like, is he okay? And then there's other times where he just comes to and he's like bouncing around the fucking place. And he's like, someone get that lad to calm down. He's going to give himself a heart attack.
But there's bad as each other.
Someone just make him pee into a cup. Just so
and just now. Him.
Matt Stryker's the consummate professional.
Yeah.
He really
you
is.
You think that, but I'm pretty sure Stryker comes out with this random one saying, like, because when we're talking about computers being unplugged, he's still tying the whole thing to machines and computers and said, Pentagon's the king of clearing his search history. Well, like, what is that going to do with anything?
It might be true, though.
Fuck knows.
I mean, I actually quite like their shtick when it comes to commentary, but it is an example of when you're not having Vince McMahon or a similar
just
dictating what you say down a headset.
You say whatever the fuck you want.
It is just fucking bizarre, the commentary, but you know, the match continues on. I mean, fucking hell. Cage gets Pentagon into a powerbomb position outside the ring.
This is a really nasty bump.
Fuck
Pentagon
me.
Back.
I saw this and I had to stop. Like, I really, I had to just
as we
have
mentioned,
a wee moment.
The venue, it's like a fucking.
It's a weapon.
An industrial fucking warehouse. So he
fucks
his back against the fucking railings, isn't it?
Yeah, he really does. I mean, he puts him in a powerbomb position outside the ring and launches. He fucks him.
Yeah,
he just
pretty
fucks him against the high metal barrier. And it's a really nasty fall.
The sound, again, it's always with the sound.
It's when
Lucha.
It's when Pentagon lands, his head is like just inches away from hitting
the steps.
His head's already pretty fucked as it is. I mean, the mask's torn off.
Chunk of glass.
Big chunk of glass bleeding like fuck, you know. And I just, at that moment, I literally had to pause it. I had to have a wee moment myself and go, I just need a breather.
Need
a breather.
But there's no breather because Cage is sitting fucking piling up another table. It's like,
yeah,
we have two tables now.
And then he takes a headshot again with a fucking trash can.
He does.
That doesn't want to
those shitty trash cans. That thing looks fucking.
It's like a fucking, like, one of those foil, you know, for the, you get under like a Mr. Kipling apple pie.
No, that's why I think that WWE used. That thing looks like a real fucking trash can. Like, that thing looks like it would do serious damage.
Yeah,
like,
but they said Pentagon basically comes to, smashes Cage with the trash can, but Cage has already set up two tables outside the ring.
Oh, fuck.
And then Cage and Pentagon have a back and forth on the ring apron with the trash can lid. And then Cage...
Slap after slap.
Cage basically takes the sort of charge, gets the dominance, and then he puts him into a superplex and puts Pentagon through the couple of tables outside the ring over the top fucking.
I know, but it's the fact that it's like he's a big enough hurler,
yeah,
but he stands on the second rope.
Yeah,
he didn't need to stand on the second rope.
No, he didn't need to do it.
It's like, man, that's going too far. Like,
and the main thing I just thought that this match at this point is just pure untrammeled aggression. I mean, it's just fucking insane, and the crowd's going mental.
They're loving
it. Why wouldn't you? I'd be going mental if I was in there.
Love the fact there's no barriers really. The crowd are literally standing.
It is essentially a studio audience.
It is. Yeah. It's class, man.
It's so good.
They're probably getting hit by shards of wood off the fucking tables and everything.
I mean, the Lucha crowd.
Glass from the bottle. Yeah. Some cut in the background, all claim culture, and it's like, that's right, we're never playing in Belfast.
I have to say that the Lucha crowd are usually always very animated.
Very
it's a bit like a football crowd, the football style chants and everything. But in this match, they've just lost their shit. I mean, the bags are off and everything, they're just going fucking mad.
And every right too.
Yeah.
Hell.
I mean,
if I was there, you'd be fucking flipping out. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's such a good, good, solid, violent fucking match.
I love even there, Cage just moved a couple of the crowd out of the front row just to throw Pentagon into their wooden deck chairs. Like, look how close they all are. That's like our shows when we go to the likes of OTT in
Belfast.
Yeah,
like they're on top of the fucking wrestlers. Like,
it's amazing.
Oh, it's fantastic. And this bit's brilliant. You know, he basically sets the bloody Pentagon on the chair while he sets up another table. And then he moves Pentagon under the apron and tries to set him up to go through the table outside. But then Pentagon reverses it. He basically delivers a brutal kick to the head before slamming a chair off Cage's head again. And it's a fucking smacker. Jesus fuck. Like, the last chair shot he did, the big one in the ring, was pretty hard. But this other one was
like the thunderous thunder.
At least he put his hand up slightly for that victim.
Yeah.
But just still, like, he's getting that all in his head.
It's another Death Valley
driver.
Yeah.
But he misses the table nearly, doesn't it? It's just a shoulder
and
Pentagon breaks it. It's all ground. He just impact on the size of Brian Cage. It's like throwing a fridge off a fucking cliff.
He softened him up.
That's what it, man.
Yeah, he softened him up. Softened Cage up with a fucking chair shot. And then, as you say, he moves Cage onto his shoulders again. Death Valley driver. Basically fucks himself and Cage through the tables. And there's just so many brutal big spots in this match.
Class, though.
That's amazing.
Well, I also heard as well, the commentary team refer to them both as luchadors. Is that just like how Vince McMahon calls them superstars? Or is everyone on the roster a luchador?
It's like masked luchador. But
and
you can just be a luchador.
Okay,
yeah,
right,
that's fine. It's just fucking incredible. I mean, I had to keep, because I was making notes in this match, but there was so much happening.
It's hard to keep up.
I had to keep pausing it.
Pause constantly.
And it's not a long match.
But there's
so much in it.
I was making notes in this morning, and I was dying with a hangover, and I was trying to eat my bacon sandwich, and I couldn't even eat my bacon sandwich. I couldn't make notes. I just had to pause everything. It's just so much.
And
it goes on.
It's interesting because whenever I went to watch this for the podcast, that was the second time I'd watched it, because I watched it as I was going through to Heart Underground season 4.
Yeah.
And in my head I thought it was a longer match because so much shit happened in it, but then it's like 15 minutes of that.
Yeah.
Like, 15
minutes of bliss.
Yeah.
15 minutes of sheer brutality. It's like a Mortal Kombat match.
There's none of this stand across the ring and square each other up.
Transition hold.
Right. Yeah. He just grabs him, just be like, get you to the other side of the ring.
Yeah, there's not a single rest hold in this.
No, there's not. They just, every time there's like a slight lull, it's usually when one wrestler's down and it's only to set up the next spot. And actually, Brian Cage actually sets up most of the spots. And do you know what? You think that he would fucking learn to stop doing it, because he's the one that ends up going through the things he sets up. You know, if I was him, I'd just be like, I'm not set up another fucking table, because I'm going to end up going through it.
You'd be through it within 2 seconds.
You're a fucking stupid bastard. I think he's taking too many chair shots to the head.
That's what it is.
<It's> fucking...
He's losing his train of thought. He's like, fuck, I haven't brought a table out yet. You've been through three of them, you damn fucker.
He's like, looking around, where did all this broken wood come from? I looked through the mats before. I don't remember this.
He's like, fucking hasn't a clue what's going on.
To be fair, he takes some amount of fucking punishment on it.
Well, here he dishes out some fucking punishment. That's Ben and Lariat.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He comes, Cage comes back in the ring and he delivers the spinning clothesline to Pentagon.
With a big fuck you!
With a big fuck you.
It's
and
class.
then he delivers a drill claw, the signature move.
The Wolverine drill claw from Marvel vs. Capcom. Drill claw! It's so good, man.
Retro gaming reference.
Has to be, man.
I had never seen the move until I saw this and I was just like, what?
It's brutal.
It's so good, man.
And it's so quick and flawless.
Yeah.
That's the thing about him. He's just a big unit and he's so fucking quick. Like,
it's it's not even. He's not
so athletic, actually.
Yeah, like, that's what I was saying. He's a real good fitness for such a big guy. Like, yeah. You know, they usually tend to slow and tire. Now, I know it's a short match, but he is relentless again with the work rate.
But even at that, he's never slow.
No,
despite the fact of being a short match, yeah. Like, he's quite quick on his feet.
Well, can I take away from this match just a wee second, because Brian Cage, I've seen him do this thing where he catches someone when they're doing a suicide dive. He catches him in a suplex position, then fucking finishes the suplex.
It's amazing.
It's fucking incredible.
Yeah, they dive out of the ring and he actually grips them as they come to land, and he gets them in a suplex with their heads under the arm and shoulder to shoulder, catches them. Like, the guy doesn't move. He's like fucking bolted to the ground. He must weigh an absolute metric ton. Amazing.
He's built out of granite, that cunt. He really is. But his name's Button.
All right. Per fucker.
He's as cute as a button.
Jesus. Don't say his face, he's fucking murdy.
Probably hugged me.
I reckon he's dead on.
Man, on Instagram, nice, he is dead on. Him and yeah. Mrs. Santos always put up wee like Instagram videos of them out with their kids and shit at like Disney World. He must be like a big fucking fluffy kitten, like a very fucking ferocious looking one, like, but he's a big family man. He looks awesome.
He was probably a fan like us once upon a time.
You know what's funny, actually, just after this, we talked about the drill claw. He actually gets another table into the ring, and it's like,
because he forgot about the previous one.
There's a cut to Vampiro there. He looks bored as fuck.
He's coming down off the drugs again.
Does this cunt not realize he's already had four tables in here? He's like,
yeah, I mean, he sets up the other table.
He brings in a table and then he thinks this isn't enough, and he goes and gets a fucking cinder block from under the ring.
What that leads to, that is bastard.
I think, and this was aired before. Do you remember there recently? There was in a Mexican promotion. Do you remember your guy? I can't remember the fucking dude's name, but he threw the cinder block out of the ring and hit the fella.
It was critical, wasn't it?
Yeah, fuck me, nearly murdered him. Like,
you see, my question is that, like, you know, is that really a real cinder block? I mean,
oh, that one, that's a prop.
It's like a prop, because, you know,
same as the bottle, sugar glass.
Yeah, like, it's all sugar glass. But I mean, that in particular, I'm thinking, you know, that's clearly a prop, because with the background of the production staff in this and the producers, they've got
they've got movie resources.
Yeah, they've got movie resources they can use, but it's still effective looking. It's amazing looking.
I'd like to think it was fucking fake for what happens when it's actually used.
But yeah, he brings that cinder block into the ring. But he then, after that, once he brings in the ring, he actually sets Pentagon up on the top turnbuckle, and then, fuck me,
he gets another headshot with a trash can lid. That's multiple headshots fucker's taking.
That's the least of his worries.
That's the least of his worries at this stage.
We get to what is quite possibly one of my favourite wrestling finishers of all time.
It's gorgeous.
And the fucking way they pull this off, he does a fucking Canadian destroyer.
But it's a Mexican destroyer.
A Mexican destroyer off the top fucking rope.
With Brad with the size of Cage.
And not just that. It's through the fucking table.
I know, but it's the fact that Cage is able to fucking carry out this move, because he essentially needs to do a fucking moonsault.
Yeah.
It just happened on the screen, and Jesus Christ.
He's actually doing a moonsault through a table, essentially, Brad Cage, but he's on the second rope.
Yes. It's
good height and good spin, and he manages it. But I think that obviously the momentum of
Pentagon's done doing a lot of that work as well. Because they're both such fucking great talents. Like, they can do that sort of shit.
And what comes next is one of my favorite. Actually, I think it's my favorite finisher in wrestling at the moment.
Oh, really?
Pentagon's package powerbomb.
Oh, this is brilliant.
Take it away. Sorry.
Do you want to explain how he sets this up?
Well, so he sets him up to sort of three chairs each,
six all together in a bridge.
Facing each other in a bridge.
Because at that point when he was doing it, I wasn't really aware. I was like, what the fuck is that?
I was like, when I saw him put up the two chairs, putting them together, I went, well, okay, what's he doing here? And then he looks over the fucking cage and
not enough chairs.
And then
he's a big lad, to be fair.
Yeah, he's a big lad. And then whenever he started putting all the chairs together, I went, he's a mad cunt. He's a fucking mental bastard. And I was like thinking to myself, what's he gonna do here?
At this stage of the match, you kind of feel, because Pentagon's got so much offense in, that, you know, it's going to go round on Pentagon at this stage.
Cage is going to reverse it or something. I'll note as well, because Cage is so aware of his surroundings, he gets kicked and he falls forward and he actually pulls the chairs tighter.
He does.
You know, he's got a great ring general.
Yeah, when he was sort of kicked towards the chairs, he kind of spread them, but then he realised, oh shit, better put these back together.
Yeah, he pulls them all in, and it gets really good.
But he makes it look quite natural as well.
I thought we were going to see the initial powerbomb that Cage sets up. Well, sorry, Cage lifts him up for a powerbomb, but then he reverses it. I thought that's what we're going to see with the chairs. But instead, he gets kicked.
Kicking the fucking balls.
Yeah. It's such a kick in the fucking.
It
is.
It, like after booting the back and forth, it's just a pure boot to the fucking nuts.
Like the whole time, he's like this indestructible fucking Terminator, the machine.
But he's
the
still
robot.
Got balls.
He's still got fucking balls. Like you just boot them in him, and he's fucked. Like
you think if you're designing a machine, you wouldn't stick
a dick on him, would you?
You wouldn't stick balls on
him. I'm pretty
him,
sure the Terminator had balls. Did you remember all the women staring at him? He was naked in the bar.
Yeah, well, true.
And but, then Andy, what happens next?
Oh, he just puts him through all the chairs
and it's
packed. Oh,
it's amazing he gets the fucking nasty when you watch it back.
I said, if you actually look at the chairs afterwards, the dents
that's a really dangerous move on its own, going down to the mat, because you have to control them. You can't release them or they're fucked. But see the fact that he's going through chairs,
it's unpredictable.
When he feels the chair, he then needs to continue to remember, I need to keep holding, because that's not the fucking mat. And it's just with Brian Cage, I don't do bodylifting. I'm not a big guy. He must weigh. How much would he weigh, Troop?
Oh, he'd be, kilo-wise, I'd say 120 to 130 kilos.
So he's not easy to hold up?
No, not easy at all. I would say he'd be about 120, 130 kilos, roughly.
Fucking mental.
He's just a massive man. Like, you know, so he'd be about 260, 270 pounds, I'd say.
Mental. But Andy,
268.
268.
Fuck me.
According to Wikipedia,
as you just look at someone and know their weight. Like,
I'm 6 foot on the fucking nose, and he's 268 pounds. Like,
he's just a massive asset. And to be fair, you're right, it was really good control by Pentagon Dark to put him in that package, Pile Driver, and then
balance on the chairs as well.
Balance on the chairs, and then as you say, like whenever you do that on the mat,
mm-hmm.
like you have to have utter control.
Yeah.
But as I was trying to say, that chair, with the unpredictability of landing through the chairs, you could land anyway.
But it's not even about landing. For me, it was when they were setting up, I was like, you fuck this up, your ankle misses one of those chairs, you fucking break your ankle.
See if he's holding them up in the chairs, all it took was like, if the chair even slid out from under him.
Yeah.
Like, and then he would, it just could have went so wrong, which
but
made
it
look
so,
so right.
It went so right, man.
I just want to say, wait a minute, true. What do you think Pentagon's win is?
Oh,
I would say...
Right, as you're looking at him, you're just seeing his ass. So just go from
screen,
his ass.
Yeah, so.
I would say he's probably about 210 pounds.
Holy fuck, man!
Oh, that's brilliant.
Not actually serious.
He's 207.
No,
holy shit!
This should be the new thing. Trip has to guess the weight
what
of these motherfuckers.
What weight do you reckon he is? I bet you only like lucky like those two times. Any other time you ask me, I'll get it totally fucking wrong.
Fuck, you're all right, man.
That's amazing. Did you change the Wikipedia things earlier?
No.
Just so you fucking remember them.
The thing is, you see with this, though, getting back into the match, after this, it's just, I just wrote, fuck me.
Oh.
Because he sets up Cage's arm in the chair.
Clamps him.
Now, it's tokenistic. This is like a signature for Pentagon to always target the arms. But it's almost like he's softening up Cage, because Cage's arms are massive.
They are.
It's almost like he's softening arms up to prepare.
They're made of adamantium.
Yes, they are. It's almost like he's softening up the arms for his proper move.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the snapback.
I love this. And I love
the sound effect.
It's like the sacrifice. It's like an inverted arm breaker. And it's that snapping sound off it. And he does it to both of his arms consecutively.
Not
just
one.
Usually one that finishes them off. But he just goes, I'm going to fucking do the other arm. So it's just another inverted arm breaker.
The way he silences the crowd and all like, shh.
It's like, listen to this.
Oh,
and that's
fucking
great, nasty.
Man. But again, ring awareness on Cage's part where he rolls over to the cinder block for the finisher. I think it's fucking great ring awareness.
It does, yeah.
It's so good. Am I right in saying that Brian Cage uses the curb stomp as a finisher? That he uses it? So
maybe.
That's why I thought it was a good icing on the cake when I saw Pentagon do it to him.
Okay, there you go. Learn anything
right? Well, I didn't know. Because I haven't seen much Brian before. This was my first introduction to him.
I think he wrestles in that one that you and me watched that night, Career.
Oh, Game Changer?
I think he's quite prevalent in Game Changer.
Fuck, I didn't know that.
Right, okay.
Which is, if you haven't watched it yet, guys, go and just experience how fucking atrocious it is.
Okay.
It's crazy.
But he's awesome. Brian Cage is awesome.
No.
But after this, after he gets his fucking arm, that's the last. He wasn't in the rest of the season. He's gone.
No, that's it. That was the last season.
That was it.
And really, so good. It's a great way to kill off the character.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
He literally killed him.
Yeah. But not that like Bullet Club Joey Ryan sort of way.
But I think it's a really good, the way Pentagon attacks him here with, you know, the chair and the arms, you say, to soften him up, then snaps both arms. It's like, it's a complete execution of like, you know, like
his limbs.
It's like a movie villain.
Yeah.
You know, you have to pull out, you have to do this and you have to do that. There's combos of this in which to kill the motherfucker.
It's almost like, it is like the Terminator. You disabled him.
Yeah, true.
Because I know, the thing I love about this match is it's fully realized the stipulation of the match. It's a last man standing match. You have to literally destroy them.
Kill the guy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and I think it's the most brutal last man standing match I've seen since probably the Royal Rumble 1999 with Mankind and The Rock.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of chair shots in that one, isn't it?
That'll be worth covering sometime.
Oh, that was an I Quit match.
So that was 11 chair shots to the fucking head or something, wasn't it?
But yeah, it was mental. But I haven't seen a last man standing match as good as this, because when you think the last man standing match I saw in WWE was Alberto Del Rio versus Big Show, and Alberto won because he put the announcer table on top of Big Show.
Wow.
Well, the
in comparison to like getting your head stomped on a fucking cinder block
after being pile driver through
chairs,
having your arms broken, Brian and going through every fucking table that you set up,
snapped out of joints.
Brian Cage's CPU is fucked. Like,
it's
stomped on.
Fucking,
you know, like, was it in Terminator with the microchip and they fucking break it or something?
Yeah,
his head is.
That's it, and that's when he fucks up his arms completely with the inverted arm breakers. He ends up with his head on top of the cinder block, and Pentagon fucking curb stomps his head through the block.
It's so
and it, the block breaks, and it's just a fucking brutal way. This ends the match.
End of level boss shit.
And he literally, that's it. He's out for the fucking 10 count, and Pentagon retains his Lucha Underground belt. But it's just an insane way to end the match.
But to end a feud.
Yeah, just to end his life.
It's over, yeah.
It's amazing.
You know, end his run in Lucha. I mean, it's just a lot going on
in such a short space of time.
Fuck me, I couldn't cope.
I love as well the euphoric feel as well with Pentagon's music at the end with the crowd chanting behind him with a belt. I think that's really, really good as well.
That's a nice looking belt as well.
Yeah. I like that belt.
It's a nice belt.
It's a great belt.
Big hunk of gold. I'm loving it.
They give good belts.
The Lucha titles they're nice, like, you know, even the Trios champs and stuff, the belts look good.
Like. I need to, after this, I've watched this was the third match I watched of Lucha Underground, and when season 5 starts, I will definitely be tuning in.
Last we heard, there's been a lot of up in the air speculation that it's not coming back for a fifth season.
They haven't said why,
I think, I'm not even sure if it might even be a ratings thing, but it's also, I've heard through the dirt sheets, so, you know, Dave Meltzer and all that lot, that if a season 5 does happen, it'll almost be a reboot of sorts, because I think a lot of the talent of Lucha Underground are now getting far too big for, let's say, underground, no pun intended, nature of the show.
Oh, right, okay.
Because people like Pentagon, who I had no idea of until I saw the show, is not on the radar of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will not be surprised.
Him and his brother Phoenix. Yeah.
I will not be surprised if they are approached by New Japan, WWE. They've already been approached by.
They have been.
And if AEW, this All Elite thing takes off, Pentagon was in All In.
Yeah.
And he had a absolutely astonishingly good match with Kenny Omega, which I'd love to cover sometime.
That was a great match. Actually, I would love to cover it as well.
So when you take your biggest star out of the equation, I think, if they do a season 5, I think it will be a reboot of sorts.
That's interesting. I'll be sad if it disappeared, because like you say, between it and NXT UK and NXT itself, I love the 1 hour shows, and Lucha for me, now that it's not on, and I may work my way through the back catalogue a bit more.
And it's a great alternative as well. Yeah,
I do miss it. Like,
it was just like, you know, I would actually recommend anyone just to go back and watch Lucha. Even just if you don't want to commit too deep into it, just start from the beginning of season 4, because that's, as you said, the best way to see all the talent.
I mean, that was the only one I ever watched from beginning to end. I would love to just go back and watch the first 3 seasons.
Yeah, I think it's very easy to go back and watch it, because it has that storyline element that runs throughout, where it's quite dramatised.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's in short form, it's 45 minute episodes, as you said, you know, it's very easy. Just literally, it's one of those shows that it doesn't feel like a chore to watch.
No.
You can sit down, you binge in a couple of episodes in an evening, and then you go, oh fuck, that was great, and then you catch up on a couple more during the week, and then you know you're getting somewhere. Whereas the likes of Raw, yeah, fuck, you don't want to watch that.
There's no jump in with WWE at the minute. The only time you can really jump in if you haven't watched it for years is usually WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's when they kind of softly rebooted from the Raw after.
Yeah. But it I would thoroughly fucking, even just based on that match alone, just go back and watch Lucha Underground.
Because it's just fun as well. I think it's a different aspect of watching wrestling. You don't treat it like any of the other products out there.
Yeah.
You kind of have to go in very, very open-minded.
But I think that's the thing I like about it. It just embraces the sheer silliness of pro wrestling sometimes.
Yeah.
And that does have a place. I know we get bogged down in the Okada Omega standard of athleticism. Sometimes wrestling is a bit silly.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a bit fun.
But I like Lucha in the sense that the characters are well developed. The scripts that they have or stick to, they're actually very well executed. I find sometimes the ad libs or whatever, what people are saying, WWE, the main roster, some people just have very shit delivery and they're not very good on the mic, whereas Lucha doesn't do a lot of that. It's just storytelling throughout,
but then
and it's properly
sort of,
shot
yeah,
and so much better.
The background, the people behind it,
yeah,
the producers, the writers, they work in TV and film properly,
yes,
not this half-arsed attempt that WWE do with their writers. It's genuinely well curated, and I think that that's what builds the interesting storylines in it.
Absolutely, and the way they film it is actually quite smart because they film all the matches in bulk.
Yeah.
Almost like a podcast.
breaking the fourth wall, Andy, and it's not good.
Shit.
And
then they go back and then they do all the cutscenes and vignettes afterwards where they can't take their time to develop them and write them properly.
Yeah. I'm enamoured by it. It's
a fun show, and if you haven't watched it, definitely go out and seek it.
It's bonkers. Like, it's great crap.
It is. And it's bonkers. What you said was perfect about it's fun. It makes wrestling fun to watch again.
Yeah.
It's not... It can be serious, and they do treat it seriously, but to me, it's a load of indie wrestlers, talented, top-of-their-game stars, who are just in this show, and they're going, you know what, let's have a bit of fun with this. Because
absolutely,
they're in the same arena, they know what they can use, and they use it well. Except for Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger can fuck off. He doesn't care. Fucking wonder.
It's depressing how things have turned out with him being on that card, or on the roster, sorry, should I say. Jack was never good, or Jake, or whatever the fuck he's called.
Well, sure, he's off the MMA now anyway.
He's going to get his balls rolled.
I'd pay to watch
his balls rolled.
He is going
rolled. To get murdered.
Just shoot. I fucking hate him, he's a dick.
He is a bit of an knobhead.
Yeah, you know, and I'd happily set to his face. It wouldn't bother me. What's he going to fucking do?
Not fight you, because he's shite at it.
Exactly,
he's
can't fight at all.
He can't fight, but I'm not wasting my time.
He does ankle locks like The Rock does sharpshooters.
Ah,
motherfucker.
That's three episodes in a row. This is amazing.
Fuck me.
Yes.
Dickhead.
Well, I will have to say, though, that, he's the one bad spot about Lucha Underground. The fact that he just shows up, because he wrestles, in inverted commas, very poorly. Like he does
in contrast to the rest of the people on the roster.
Yeah, the rest of them are fucking amazing. The rest of the roster are just fantastic, and they're all top indie stars, and it's definitely
and even the megastars.
Rey Mysterio he's not
carrying was a season 3.
Yeah, and I think it's just one of those shows you have to fucking watch. What about you, Chris?
I loved it. I wrote at the end of my notes that I needed counselling.
Because
it was just so brutal and so fast paced and crazy, and I just can't get over Brian Cage being able to move like he is. And if that's what Lucha Underground is going to offer on a weekly basis, then I'm fucking stupid to not have tuned in already, or to go back and watch it from say season 1, especially now that we've got Ricochet. If I have the opportunity to see him build his character, I would love to see that too, because the only time I've seen Ricochet outside of NXT was when we saw him at an OTT show.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So
yeah,
it boggled my mind.
And on that note, yeah, because of the previous seasons and the way it's filmed, it's great box set TV actually, which is something which gives it an appeal that no other wrestling show,
yeah,
full stop, can offer these days.
Yeah, it's a really, really unique blend of well written stories, production TV, really good production values for TV, and like sort of film. It's filmed so well, and of course the fun wrestling aspect, and it's just a really interesting blend. It's whenever you were trying to get me for ages, Andy, to watch it, and I was like, I don't have time. At this point, I was slogging, trying to slog through watching Raw every week, and I hated it.
One hour half cut now, so that's to stick on one match. Match.
And we watched about fucking 6 episodes in a row. I was like, this is fucking amazing. I've not watched this before, but I really implore everyone who's listened to, if you haven't turned off already, you need to watch this. It's just fucking fantastic from start to finish.
I just don't like the way sometimes, like, even when we were down at that OTT fourth year anniversary show, some people shit on Lucha. They just don't, like, there was a guy in the crowd or something, remember when Shane Strickland came out and everybody was all fucking calling him the King of Swerve or something, and I was all, come on, Killshot, and the guy was like, fucking Lucha shit, Lucha Underground
wasn't
shit.
That boy was wearing the fucking Roman Reigns,
it was one of his mates or something thing. But you know, it's just like, why is Lucha Underground shit? Because it's not like your WWE's, because yeah. It is a bit more zany, to choose a fucking grim word,
but
like, you know
what, compared to WWE, it's not zany at all. I mean, WWE have some of the most fucking stupid promos and storylines that are on the go, like,
I mean,
they make no fucking sense.
They literally ripped off Bane from The Dark Knight Rises with Dean Ambrose recently.
Oh, fucking shite, man.
And that reaction right there just shows how fucking naff it is.
Yeah. I just saw the pictures of it and I felt it was getting AIDS.
fucking hell.
It's just a fucking AIDS would be a sweeter release from this moral coil than having to watch that shit.
No. Not for me. Give me Lucha Underground any fucking day.
Oh, definitely. Without a doubt. Far better. And it's easier to digest than the long form WWE shit that they put out nowadays.
Especially Raw.
Especially Raw. But except for NXT, which is good.
NXT UK, I'm all for.
Yeah. So
NXT is the only show that I would watch on a weekly basis. Everything else I read online.
So on a show up by Lucha Underground, the conclusion would come to is watch NXT.
Yay!
And I think on that bombshell, we'll end this episode. We've been Four Sweet Horsemen. You can find us on our social media channels at The Four Sweet. Just search for us, and on our website, find it on the media, on the bios. It's foursweethorsemen.co.uk.
I think it's com. I bought com.
.com.
Sure. Fucking, we've all got fucking computers here. Fucking type
yeah,
in.
Well, yeah.
Well, on that side, no. Can I venture away from this match very quickly just to say that three of us had the privilege to go and see Bruce Pritchard and Comrade Thompson in a Something to Wrestle With show in Belfast, and I got to meet what is it?
It's .co.uk.
It's .co.uk. Horsemen.co.uk.
No,
and back that, I had the privilege of meeting both of them, and they couldn't have been nicer. So fair play to Pritchard and Comrade Thompson if you're listening, which you won't.
No, they won't be.
No, they won't.
They might. I'm gonna tweet them. We got a hug.
You're like BFFs now. We'll get the photo to prove it.
Yeah. I think he was impressed. It looked like I fucking red-faced in the photo. I was so warm. I'm gonna fucking...
Should we give a shout to the guy who actually paid for your autograph?
Yeah, that guy who... I went up just to shake his hand. This guy was like, do you want an autograph? I was like, no, it's okay. And then he just put down 20 quid and he goes, you want an autograph? You got one. And I was like, thank you.
So basically, you rocked up as a tight bastard, didn't want to pay for an autograph, and some random whore bought you one.
No, I went up just to thank Bruce Pritchard and then leave, and the guy was like, do you want the picture? And I was like, yeah, okay.
Some randomer.
That guy.
Did you go home with him?
No.
He was looking to get his
I
home.
Followed him on Twitter.
That's how it begins, and then you disappear, yeah. Never to be seen again.
Slide into his DMs.
I don't know. I don't know how to work Twitter. Would you do it for me, Curry?
No, not at all.
Well, if you're like Chris and struggle to work Twitter, go to the wee search icon
at
The Four Suite, and then you'll find us there.
Yeah.
Again, with Facebook, Instagram, and Vampire Freaks, you can find us
Fuck
all there.
You, man.
It's going to be the wrong thing.
I'm deleting it.
No, you're not. You're going to keep it there. You can find us on all the social media channels. Please chat shit to us, you know, talk about what you thought of the podcast, give us some constructive criticism if you want, also leave us a review on iTunes if you can, hopefully a 5-star review, bump us up the ranks a bit,
and hit the subscribe button as well.
And hit the subscribe button, it's very, very important. We're also available on other podcast
we're
asking
a lot out of people, aren't we, at the end of every
episode? Just want you to come back and listen to one more episode after this, how about that?
Yeah, and we'll say that again at the next episode.
And the next one.
I just want you all to treat us like Dave Meltzer treats a match in the Tokyo Dome.
Everything five and a half stars.
Yep. Well, except for the 6-star ones.
Can you get 6 stars?
Well,
he's been dishing them out.
He's been dishing them out to Kenny Omega and Okada.
Please give us 6 stars.
Yeah. With such passion, Chris, you deliver that. Fucking easy.
Well, then, Macho Man at the end to end it, will
please
it?
Do.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah, the Macho Man says if you're going to click the stars, you got to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Dig it. Ooh, yeah.
Do you know, I think the only reason why you did that was trying to get us over the R mark for this episode.
Oh, we're not there.
We're almost at the R mark. The referee's hand's coming down. How many seconds have I got? I've got too many seconds. It's not a one count.
I quit.
I'm tapping out.
All I can look at you and go, that was your best brother love impression. You're red as fuck.
I love
We don't need to do impressions.
That's gimmick infringement on a different podcast.
Right.
Done.
Right.
On that note, we'll end. We've been the Four Sweet Horsemen. My name is Richard.
I'm Andrew.
I'm a very fed up curry for that fucking bastard over there.
I'm going to get us to the R. My name has been Chris, and I want to say thank you very much.
You're a dickhead.
Fuck's sake.
And goodbye. There's been a lot of dead air in this episode, so that we actually haven't recorded a full hour. So
you
just,
fucking dick.
You just seem like a fucking wanker at the end.
Oh, fuck's sake.
I'll be like, didn't even reach the hour. What's he all about?
Oh, fuck.
Ooh, yeah. Fuck off.